nothing that is impossible with him, and his promises are true, and he's making all things new. I want you to know that. He's making all things new in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give him praise tonight for he is making all things new. Making all things new in your life, making all things new in my life. There is nothing that just the word for tonight is that he knows the future. And so you can trust in him. When things don't seem to make sense, this is why they call it faith. They call it faith because you don't know what the future is, but you say, God, I trust in you. I trust that you know the future. I trust that you know what is going to happen to me in the future. I trust in you, O Lord. I trust in you no matter what. Whatever comes my way, I know that I can trust in you. My life is in your hands, dear Lord. My life is in your hands. I know that I can trust in you. You are a faithful and mighty God, and that's what our declaration is of faith. Sometimes things come our way and we don't understand why they're happening. That's what faith steps in and says, I'll still trust you, God. I'll still trust you. I'll still trust you because I believe that you are in this for me. I believe that you have my best interest. He says that that even the sparrows, he knows about all that the sparrows do. He knows about every blade of grass. I believe that. He knows about every tree. And Jesus' words to us say that, are you not of more value than the sparrows are? So we can trust in him. So no matter what is coming your way today, you know that you can trust in the Lord because he will take care of you. He will take care of you. There are many times people in the Bible were in difficult circumstances, and in the midst of it, they might have struggled. Even Peter, while he was walking on the water, when his eyes were on the waves, he began to sink. But we know that when our eyes are on Jesus Christ, he will lead us through the wilderness. Hallelujah. I thank God because he's leading us through the wilderness even right now. If you're in a wilderness time, he is leading you through that wilderness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that, that he is leading through the wilderness and he is making a better way. When a tree is growing up, there are times that you have to cut it back so that it will grow more. And that is what our God does to us from time to time. If a tree is bearing fruit, the word of God says, he will cut it back so that it will bear more fruit. And that is true in nature. If there is a fruit tree, sometimes you have to cut it back. If you cut it back too far, it'll die. But God never cuts back too far. As his children, sometimes we might think that he's cut too far. But God is saying to us, no, I know how to cut it just right so that it will bear more fruit. And so there's so many stories in the Bible, so many lessons in the Bible that teach us that about how God does things. And we know that he is taking us through a time that of pruning so that we can bear more fruit. So that we'll come out the other end better than when we came in Jesus' name. That is what God does to his people from time to time, and the world would never understand it, but that's the truth. And in the end, we'll be better off, and God will make us more like him in Jesus' name. That's what trials are about, and if you are don't have a mind for trials, then you entered the wrong faith. This is not a faith for the weak. This is faith for the strong of trials. That God has given trials to us. I'm going to just say it this way, and it's based on the Bible, but he puts trials in our way to see if we'll walk in his way or not. Because he doesn't want people ruling and reigning in his kingdom that aren't fit to rule. And so he puts these things in our way so he'll know what type of people we are. Are we really dedicated to following him? Are we dedicated to following ourselves and our own ways? Because God doesn't need anybody in his kingdom that's leading the way they think is right. He needs people leading the way he thinks is right. And that's the truth. So, saints, we need to get ourselves out of the way. We need to get our own way needs to go away. It must decrease so that he can increase. And that's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. I give God praise for that. And we need to learn it, because anything less is dead religion. And this world has too much of it. And God is saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in the punishments that are going to be thrown upon it. And those punishments will come shortly, but the light is still shining. The light is still shining. There is still time to work. So, saints, we need to be thinking in these times and these days, not what do I want to do to satisfy my own desire, but what will God have me do? If we decided to become a Christian, then that means we will do whatever God asks us to do. And that means maybe we don't do what we want to on the weekend. Maybe we have to do something different. If we're not even open to what God is wanting us to do, how do we expect that he will give us something to do? You tell people, if you go to work and there's someone that every time you ask them to do a job, they put up a fit and they say no and they back out of it. Is that someone you want to work around? Is that someone you want on your team? And not even open to listening to what the request is? No, that's someone you avoid, and after a while they get fired. And that's the truth. Well, this body of Christ we're in today is so set on doing what they want to do. If God had told them on a billboard sign that they're supposed to do something, they would want to put out the fleece to see if that was really a sign from God. That is, we're not sensitive to what God's Spirit is telling us to do, because we're all the time listening to our own spirit and not the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who we're saying, at least at the minimum on the weekends, oh God, you're my God, and I'll ever praise you and serve you and do whatever you want. And then, well, how much of that are we doing? We need to ask ourselves that. How much of that are we doing? When we look at our time, what are we doing? Are we serving God, or are we serving ourselves? And these are things that we need to take, because if we're not even asking God, what would you have me do today? What would you have me do, Lord? Then how is it that he can even guide that? Even within the workday, he can tell you different things that you need to do. Go down this way, talk to this person, etc. But if we're not even open to what God is having to say, it's no wonder that he doesn't say anything. So we need to always remember these things. We need to know that God is that God cares for us, that he loves us, and that he wants what's best for us, and we need to do what's best by him, and that's to serve him in sincerity, saying, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do today, Lord? I want to do what you want me to today. We'll worry about tomorrow. Today, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do. What words do you want me to say? Who do you want me to speak to? Do you have an assignment for me today, Lord? Do you have an assignment that you want me to take on? These are the kinds of things that we were called into the body, not so that we could just have a happy time. That isn't why we were called into the body. We were called into the body to do service to one another and to bring other people in that aren't in it. And so those are the two works that I can think of that God will have us do, one or the other, and also live in, as much as it depends upon us. And it does depend upon us, a life that is in holiness and righteousness and forsaking sin and evil and getting iniquity out of our spirit by God's grace. These are the things that God wants us to be doing, wants us to be, or these are good works. Ministering the gospel to those that don't know it. That's right. That's a good work. That's when God is leading it. And secondly, ministering to those in need in the body. That is also a great work. And lastly, and maybe I should have put this first, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's a good work. These are the things that God wants you to be doing. These are fruits that he wants you to produce out of a heart of sincerity, not by constraint. Not that you're saying, oh, I need to do this, but because you want to. And if you're in a, sitting here now and saying, well, that's not at all how things are in my heart, then that's okay. So that's been the case of everybody. What it does require is a lot of prayer and saying, and that prayer goes something like, God, change my heart. I don't want to have this heart. And also, in sincerity, taking actions that will that show that this is what you really want to do. And at some point, whether it's quick or slow, I've seen both, God will come in and he'll finish the work. God, you can only go a certain amount of the way. God will have to take the rest of the way. And an example of that is someone that might be a smoker or so, and he's addicted to nicotine. At some point, if he is diligent in staying away from that drug and letting God be the one that satisfies that desire, then at some point God will reach in and take away that addiction, and he'll never desire cigarettes anymore. And you can go on and on and on with any addiction, whether it's a substance or whether it's a sin of some other type. Every addicted behavior, by God's grace, he will come in and change your heart, and that is a work of righteousness in itself. That isn't preaching to a non-believer. It's not ministering to a believer. It is getting yourself right, and you'll only get yourself right if you want to walk in sincerity and in truth. And that word is an important word ringing in my brain tonight, is sincerity. A sincere heart means that this is what you truly want. And that is what he was talking about in Revelation chapter 3 to the church of the Ephesians when he said that, I have this against you, church. You have left your first love. They weren't sincere, saints. They were no longer sincere. They were sincere at one time, but they are no longer sincere. They are not acting in sincerity because they are following after other things first. And you know, if you're following after other things first, if you check your time checkbook, what are you doing with your time? What is first place in your life by your time? Let's take work out of it. Whatever's left. It could be sleeping. Well, that shows that sleeping is most important to you. It could be by eating. It could be lots of different things. But you'll know by your actions what's most important to you. And saints, that shows when those things are not aligned, then you know that there is a sincerity issue and you need to return to your first love. Because whenever you've left your first love, but you're still coming to God, it's not in these situations that you say, no, I don't want to follow you anymore, God. But when you're, the most dangerous is when you're sitting there saying, God, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, for this 10 minutes, and then you spend 2 hours doing something else that has nothing to do. It's not one of those three buckets that I talked about. It's totally something that you want to do because you think it's fun. And, you know, there's times and places for that, but I believe, saints, I believe in my heart that those are the exception rather than the rule, and we just aren't listening enough. It's not like there isn't work that needs to be done. Let's just put it that way. It's not like there isn't work that needs to be done for the Lord, and so if we're not getting assignments, then that probably requires some looking at our own lives and to say, what's the deal, God? Why isn't, it's kind of like the person at a baseball game that's sitting on the bench watching a game go by and saying, well, coach, why am I not good enough to get in? It's like, well, you know, you strike out every time, so why would I put you in the game? Saints, that's not what we want to be known as for us. There are things that need to be done, and in those three buckets, and in its potential that you can be working all in the way I ordered them. Bucket three, working on holiness and righteousness so that you can do the other two even better. But enough on that. I think that point is made. I want to go back to just encouraging you to say that God is in control and God knows everything that's going on, and he is in control of every situation. So we thank God for that. So no matter what kind of situation you're in, he can help you. He will be your help. He will be your shelter. He will be your shield. And that is what the promise of the Word of God says. And so we're going to turn to 1 Samuel. Last week, there was technical difficulties, so none of the prayer line recorded. And so if you're listening to this, this week, then just know that last week it didn't record. It recorded for a little bit, and then it cut out, and I had to call in. So only if you were live would you have heard anything. So we did prayers from Deuteronomy, and now we're in 1 Samuel, and so we're going to go to 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22, Amen. I was in the wrong place. Give me just a second. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this, and then this is going to be the prayer tonight in Jesus' name. This is verse 18, 1 Samuel 19, verse 18. Hallelujah. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him, because Saul was trying to kill him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And this is the situation here. David was running away from Saul. Saul got word of where David was. Quite simply, he said, I'm going to send messengers to go after him. And in this case, I'm going to make the assumption that the amount of people that were with Saul were greater than the amount that were with David, because otherwise, why would you go after them with less people? So this is a situation that comes upon us from time to time as believers. And what do we do? Well, God is our help. I mean, David didn't even know that these people were coming after him. But because he was close to the Lord and he was sincerely following him with all of his heart, mind, soul, and body, God was taking care of him. And that is the key, saints. The level of things that go on around us, we need to be in the place where we're hidden in Christ. When we're hidden in Christ, there will be no evil that will befall us. That's the truth, except that God brings along. And that's the truth. But if we are lacking sincerity, and all we have is words, God's word is pretty clear. That when it's not more than pretty clear, it's very clear that when we need him, he's going to say, well, go call on the things that you've been really calling your God on. Because I'm not going to be there to help you. That is in the word of God. That's in Proverbs, and it's in Isaiah and Ezekiel and elsewhere. But this is the situation that David, and you can read in the Psalms, that it wasn't like a happy time for him during this point of time in his life. And he was pressed daily, people going after him. And it's so easy to sit here and read it in the comfort of our home and go, what's the situation? Or just read through it in a couple of minutes and not think about what the situation is. But the situation, saints, is that David was sleeping outdoors, eating whatever food he could scavenge and rummage through and find. And this was not an easy time. He was a wanted man. The people that used to be his friends turned on him and were hunting him down. People that used to serve under him, hunting him down, trying to find him, because they stayed loyal to Saul. Other people were just civilians, and they were still loyal to Saul, so they wouldn't help him. He was a wanted man. At the end of all this, he turns to live with the Philistines of all things, to keep protected. Just not an easy time, and he did this for many years as he waited for God's promise to come about. He could have easily taken Saul out several times, but he didn't, because he said, God is the one that's going to do this for me. And he waited, and God blessed him. But in this particular circumstance, David wouldn't have even known that these messengers were coming, but he was down there, he was worshiping. So this is verse 20, and Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So here we have a situation where Samuel's there. You can see order in this passage. You can see the order that Samuel is doing as he was appointed. And you can also see that the messengers who were meant to do harm to David ended up getting filled with the Holy Ghost themselves in prophesying and being not able to harm him. And we go on to verse 21, and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again, and the third time, they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is at Tiku, and he asked and said, where is Samuel and David? And once behold, they be at Naiah and Ramah.
And he went thither to Naioth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth and Ramah. And he stripped him off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say he saw also among the prophets. And verse 20, and David fled from Naioth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? There are plenty of passages that I could depict, but here is one that as I was reading, just came to my mind to say, God protects his people. God protects his people. This could be any. All you have to do is just be in the place that God wants you to be, and you have nothing to fear, because it could be, this could have played out hundreds of different ways, as it has in other parts of the Bible. He could have shut the mouth of the lions. Yep, he could have done that. He could have kept David alive through the fire. He could have had the Red Sea part for him. He could have opened up the earth around his enemies and swallowed them up, as it was with Korah, or as it is with Elijah, as he sits on top of a hill and causes fire to rain down upon his enemies and consume them, even though they're coming time after time after time, a very similar circumstance. He could have done it those ways, but God is the one that he didn't do it the same time every way, so that we would always have to trust in him to say, what is the method that you will save me by? How is it that you will save me, Lord? It can be a miracle, or it can be something else. But God will save. Amen. God will save. That is the message throughout the whole Word of God. God will save. One way or another, he's going to save. Amen. So in this case, he's saved by letting these Israelites that were rebelling against him, even though wave after wave after wave after wave, it's not like this would have happened over the course of 30 minutes, saints. This happened, I'm guessing, over days that they were having this service. It would have been a real good thing to be a part of. Can you imagine being at a service that your enemies get so filled with God that they end up not wanting to harm you anymore? I give God glory for that. And in many cases, we've seen that happen in the New Testament church, where people that once hated God ended up becoming his chief ambassadors, starting with Paul and on into today. So, saints, whatever the situation is, God is in control. He's in charge. Whatever you're going through today, it's okay. God is in control. God is in control. He will take care of you. Your main priority, your main job, the main thing you need to be thinking about is, am I serving him in sincerity and in truth? Hallelujah. So these are going to be the basis of our prayers. We're just going to roll through these tonight. So just pray out loud and pray along. And we're going to cover ourselves and ask for forgiveness. And I just want to remind you, saints, as always, the Word of God says that if we can't forgive others, he will not forgive us. So I want you to make sure that you're letting go of every anger and feeling of awe and bitterness that you have towards another. We need to be making sure that we let these things go, especially as we ask God to forgive us. So, amen and amen. Let's go before God in prayer. He is a mighty God. And so we're going to give him praise. And let's give him praise. We're going to start off with giving him thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, O Lord. I give you thanks for today, Lord. I give you thanks. I give you thanks because you've made this day. This is the day that you've made, and you made it for us to rejoice in it. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as I'm getting ready to, this day is about over, Lord. I thank you that you kept me in and you ordered my paths, oh Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you allowed me to come home safely, for some did not do that today. I thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe and answering my prayers. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I give you praise, O Lord, for you have answered prayers today. You've answered prayers that I've asked. Some were short in nature and some are longer, Lord, but you've answered prayers. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your word, O Lord. I thank you, O Lord God, for your word that sets us free in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I give you praise, O Heavenly Father, for you are worthy. I give you praise, Lord, for you are mighty God. You are the almighty God. You are the everlasting God. You do not faint. You do not grow weary, Lord God. You are high and lifted up. You are the Alpha and the Omega. There is none like you. You are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tesignu. Lord God, you are Jehovah Nisi. You are Jehovah Shalom. Oh, Lord God, you are all these things and even more. I give you praise, Lord, for you are... You, O Lord God, are the one who takes care of us, and you have showed yourself as Jehovah, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord our banner, the Lord our strength. You are all these things, Lord. You are Almighty God, and we give you praise, for you are worthy of praise. I pray that you would receive the offering of our lips, O Lord God, and that they would not come out of hearts that don't really want to follow you, Lord. But I pray that you would make our hearts to a place that they can follow you in sincerity and truth. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, I pray that we would let go of every seed of bitterness that we have towards others. I pray that we would forgive them in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that we would have no bitterness or anger towards those that have done us wrong, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would forgive them, even as you do, O Lord God. For when you were being crucified, you said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. And clearly, if anyone really did understand what they were doing, they would never do wrong again, including us. So I pray, O Heavenly Father, that we would have wisdom and understanding to know right from wrong, O Lord God, that we would discern evil from good, in Jesus' name, and that we return unto the good every time, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, the thoughts that we've thought, the words that we've said, the actions that we've done. Anytime that we've been at the wrong place, at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, O Heavenly Father. Forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I pray, Lord God, that you would deliver us, O Lord God, from every addictive sin, O Lord God. I pray that every sin that has control of our actions, that has control of our desires, that has control of that we can't even stop doing it, Lord. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would have mercy upon us and help us, O Lord God, to overcome these addictive behaviors. In Jesus' name, every addictive sin, Lord God, I pray, O Heavenly Father, from the crown of our head to the sole of the foot, that we would be cleansed and covered in the blood of Jesus. I pray that it would be something that would set us free from sin and death. In Jesus' name, O Lord God, be our help. Be our help, O Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that we would be delivered from every evil. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, you are the God that watches over us even when we don't know that we need to be watched over. Even when David was far away, he did not know that there was evil coming upon him, but he stayed close to you and you took care of him. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that as we go to sleep tonight and we dreams tomorrow, Lord God, that you would do the same. Every plan of the enemy that is coming against us, I pray, O Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would deliver us from this evil in Jesus' name. Help us, O Lord God. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to be free from the attacks of the enemy. Every plan of the enemy, I pray that it would be foiled, that it would be destroyed, that it would be found out, and it would be revealed in Jesus' name. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we would be delivered from every satanic plot, every plot to rob us of our ministry, of our righteousness and holiness, of our abundant life that you promised us, rob us of our health, rob us of our family, rob us of our walk with you, rob us of our source of income, rob us in any way, shape, or form, Lord God. I pray that it would be revealed and destroyed in Jesus' name. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that when we do go through trials, we would endure to the end, O Lord God. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that when we're just in a time of the wilderness, such as David was before he became king, O Lord, that we would just not try and squirm out of it, Lord, but we would find what it is to be faithful and true, even in the midst of a trial. Lord God, I pray this upon all the saints. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that every gate, O Heavenly Father, that is a heavenly gate, that it would be opened unto us in Jesus' name. I pray that even during the night, O Lord God, that things would be working out for us to find favor and to find favor and walk through those gates that you want us to walk through, Lord God. And every satanic gate, I pray, Lord God, that it would be shut, that it would be shut in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, every demonic gate would be shut in Jesus' name. Let us never walk through them. Let us despise them. Let us lay down whatever we need to lay down to never go through those gates. I pray, Lord God, that the other gates would be fully open and that no man could shut them in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, I pray that we would love for one another, have love for one another. I pray, O Heavenly Father, we would have fervent charity. For charity covers the multitude of sins. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we would have that charity. I pray that we would have wisdom and understanding, Lord God, to apply the word that you have for us. I pray that we'd be attentive unto your spirit, O Heavenly Father, and that we would not turn from the left to the right or from the right to the left without your bidding. I pray, O Heavenly Father, we'd be sensitive to you, O Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, for all those that are sick, O Lord God. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that they would recover in Jesus' name. If there be anything that needs to be revealed unto them, O Lord God, to release healing, I pray that it would be revealed in Jesus' name. Otherwise, Lord God, I pray for a healing stream to flow down in the mighty name of Jesus and fill all of us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray, O Heavenly Father, for deliverance from evil, from wicked plans, from bad destinies. O Lord God, I pray that we've been delivered from all of these things in Jesus' name. Help us, O Lord God, to attain unto righteousness. Help us, Lord God, to attain unto holiness. Help us, Lord God, to attain unto the place that you want us to be found, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. O Heavenly Father, without you we can do nothing. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would establish this night for us, O Lord God. I command it to be working towards our favor. I command good sleep for the saints, O Lord God. I command restoration sleep in the mighty name of Jesus. I command that they will not be sick in Jesus' name. I command that they will be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that these things would be done. I pray, Lord God, you would be our protector and our shield, and that we would find if there be any iniquity in our spirit that would be revealed to us, Lord, that we would be not taken by surprise. You are all in all. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and you are the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must continue going before God in prayer. We need to be doing this frequently, morning, noon, and night. We need to be going before God and having time with Him as much as we can. Sometimes schedules don't permit, but do not neglect finding time with God, for He is our only hope. He is our only hope, and He wants us to be doing things for Him. And so let's be attentive unto what the Master's voice, so that we can do exactly what He wants. We're going to close tonight just by asking for a spirit of faithfulness and wisdom and understanding and ears that will hear. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, there's much to be done in Your kingdom. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that You would grant us ears that can hear in Jesus' name and eyes that can see in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that we would be given this understanding, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us to have understanding. Help us, Lord, to have ears, oh Lord, that will hear the mission that You want us to do. And I pray, oh Heavenly Father, for spirits that will carry it out in faithfulness, Lord, and not drop any assignment. I pray that there will be no assignments dropped in Jesus' name. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that there would be no assignments dropped by Your people, that we would carry them out with all faithfulness, for that is what a good worker does. I pray, oh Lord God, that we wouldn't twist even one segment of it to our own will that is opposed to Yours, but You would teach us, oh Lord God, to hear Your voice, do Your will, and be subject unto Your bidding, Lord, for You are the Lord of all these things. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that we would listen to that voice and that we would not be rebellious children, but have grace and mercy upon us, Lord, in our time of need. Our time of need is now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Saint, that's what's on my heart tonight. By God's grace, we'll meet again next week, and then we'll continue on in prayers. Whatever God puts on our heart, we'll pray. If you have a prayer request, feel free to reach out via the website or in any other way that you know of to get in touch with me, and we'll be happy to reach out and offer those in prayer. So bless you all, and Maranatha.